everyone. Welcome to Trashy Breakups, our new Wednesday series for season 11.
I'm Alicia.
My name is Stacy.
Y'all, we have a whole new season of Trash Candy coming for you on Sunday. Regular old Trashy Divorces.
Yep.
However, for Wednesdays during season 11, beginning today, Stacy and I are going to be trading off, bringing you couples who never married, so they can't get divorced, but they sure did have a trashy breakup that fascinated us all.
Mm-hmm. And how are we starting this off, Alicia?
We are starting off today with, holy cats, y'all, it maybe is the best breakup song of all time. That is what Taylor Swift says. Taylor Swift is going to bring out Alanis Morissette in concert as a special guest in August of 2015 in Los Angeles. And the intro is awesome. Taylor Swift's like, she defined the music of her decade and inspired a generation of confessional female singer-songwriters who all of a sudden felt like you could say all of these raw feelings and you could get really mad if you wanted to. Fair to say, so many female singer-songwriters, including myself, would not write the way we do without her and her music. Alanis Morissette, in the greatest breakup song of all time.
You ought to know. Is the
you
song.
You ought to know. Mm-hmm. If you were alive in 1995, you could not miss the enormous impact of Alanis Morissette's third album, Jagged Little Pill.
It was a monster, yeah.
Oh, God. It was her third album, but it's her first worldwide release and quite a departure from the Canadian sweet dance pop star who's really kind of spiritual and religious. She's just really nice Canadian girl, eh? From the first two albums. And then someone hurt her. Someone hurt her badly.
Do we know who?
Okay, everything is copy, right? Mm-hmm. That's Nora Ephron. Everything is copy. Okay.
It is.
Alanis Morissette is the poster girl of Everything is Copy for 1995. So truly, Jagged Little Pill changed everything. Let's get the numbers out of the way. The album will top the charts in 13 countries. It will sell 33 million copies worldwide. Alanis is the first Canadian to achieve double diamond sales. The album was nominated for 9 Grammys. It wins 5. Alanis is the youngest artist to win one of those Grammys for the time. Rolling Stone will rank Jagged Little Pill as number 69 on its 2020 list of the 500 greatest albums of all time. Like, the album was revolutionary at the time. It kicked off with the lead single, You Oughta Know. Oh, God, holy cat, y'all. So Dave Navarro and Flea are playing on this. Like, Alanis really has some star power, but You Oughta Know comes out as the lead single, and it is not the way that the world, at least the mainstream audience world, is used to hearing female singers sing.
Right.
Or write. Alanis Morissette says this song is unbridled rage born from devastation. In another interview, she will say, for women sometimes, we're told we can't be angry. We can't be sad. We can't be 17 other feelings. You can't be anything. So just sublimate it all. Just squish it all down. But I think I was just really devastated when I wrote that. And it's a lot easier to siphon that through anger sometimes. Let's go ahead and talk about a few of the lyrics here.
Yeah.
I want you to know that I am happy for you. I wish nothing but the best for you both. An older version of me. Is she perverted like me? Would she go down on you in a theater? Does she speak eloquently? Would she have your baby? I'm sure she'd make a really excellent mother.
It was surprisingly explicit.
It was surprisingly explicit and just so raw, right? Because the love that you gave that we made wasn't able to make it enough for you to be open wide. No. And every time you speak her name, does she know how you told me you'd hold me until you died, but you're still alive. Like, she's mad and she's angry and I get it. That's only like the first verse and chorus. Who could inspire this kind of songwriting?
Who could inspire? I always assumed it was like based on several, but I feel like you've kind of narrowed it down.
What lusty Lothario would make a woman's heart swell to this kind of, how did she say, unbridled rage born from devastation.
Sure, it was someone super hot and top of the world career-wise.
So the generation before us had Carly Simon's infamous You're So Vain mm-hmm. to contemplate over.
Mm-hmm.
Gen X has its own version of You're So Vain. And the answer, who is this kind of man that can make a woman feel this unbridled rage born of devastation?
Who, indeed?
Uncle Joey from Full House.
The comedian guy, like the...
Dave Coulier. Yeah.
Dopey, affable...
Cut it out. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So these two kids, Dave and Alanis, get together in 1992. They are both Nickelodeon stars.
Okay.
Dave is fresh off the heels of an early marriage and pretty quick divorce inside of 2 years. Alanis and Dave date for like 2 years. It ends. If you listen to Jagged Little Pill, it doesn't end well. It ends in a pretty awful way, hence the everything is copy. Okay, so go with me here. So when we talk about everything is copy, there is a line where Dave Coulier is like, oh, shit, this is me. So we get into the second verse. It's my favorite verse. You seem very well. Things look peaceful. I'm not quite as well. I thought you should know. Did you forget about me, Mr. Duplicity? I hate to bug you in the middle of dinner. Okay, so Dave Coulier is going to tell BuzzFeed in 2015, I never think about the 1995 song, but I do think it's really funny that it's become this urban legend so many years after the fact. He will go on to say to them in 2014, I dated Alanis in 1992. You know, it's just funny to me to be the supposed subject of that song. First of all, that guy in the song is a real asshole, and I don't want to be that guy. Secondly, I asked Alanis, I'm getting calls by the media and they want to know who this guy is. And she said, well, you know, it could be a bunch of people, but you can say whatever you want. So one time, I was doing a red carpet somewhere and the press just wore me down and everybody wanted to know. So I said, yeah, all right, I'm the guy. There, I said it. So then it became a snowball effect of, oh, so you are the guy. It's just become this silly urban legend that I just have to laugh at. He will go on to tell HuffPost Live, there were some familiarities all throughout Jagged Little Pill. Noting Morissette was writing a lot of the material, quote unquote, during their time together. In fact, he said there was one line from the song that got me. I hate to bug you in the middle of dinner. So here's what happened. He says, she called and I said, hey, I'm right in the middle of dinner. Can I call you right back? Coulier recalls to HuffPost Live. They had already broken up at the time, but he says, I remember that line when I heard You Ought to Know, and I just went, I was like, uh-oh.
So he's not claiming credit for the theater thing?
That guy knows who he is.
That guy knows who he is.
So Coulier will say he and Alanis parted as friends.
Yeah, that was my takeaway from You Ought to Know, is very warm.
Well, if you parted as friends, there may be some things unsaid. So what does Alanis Morissette say about it?
Mm-hmm.
On Watch What Happens Live with Andy Cohen, she talked about it a bit. There's a caller who calls in and asks, like, are you tired of people asking you about the rumors about You Ought to Know? And Andy Cohen is like, yeah, are you ever going to say who it's about? And Alanis Morissette says, no revealing, but I am intrigued at the thought or at the fact that more than one person has taken credit for it. I'm thinking, I don't know if you want to take credit for being the person I wrote You Ought to Know about.
Yeah.
She says there's been about 6 people who have taken credit for it and goes on, I just think if you're going to take credit for a song where I'm singing about someone being a douche or an asshole, you might not want to say, hey, that's me.
That's me. She's talking about me. Yeah, it's weird.
It's a fair point, Alanis Morissette.
Mm-hmm.
Fair point.
Mm-hmm.
So Dave and Alanis do break up. Dave goes on to marry again in 2014 to his longtime girlfriend, who he started dating after that Alanis breakup. Dave will say, new girlfriend, now wife of 7 years. It's the love of his life. Good on you, kids. Okay.
Such a surprising figure.
Oh, wait. I have more.
Mm.
You're going to be more surprised in short order. Alanis, for her part, after the breakup with Dave Coulier, dates a lot of people. She'll end up getting engaged to Ryan Reynolds. They meet at Drew Barrymore's birthday party in 2002, and they begin dating. They get engaged June 2004, but by 2007, that is over. In 2010, Alanis will marry rapper Mario Soulei Treadway. They have three kids. She's been very much on a journey. She says she's been recovering from the PTSD that Jagged Little Pill was for 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's such a, there's a fantastic Super Soul Sunday episode with Oprah Winfrey. If y'all want to listen to that, she, Alanis Morissette's fascinating.
Well, and for How I Met Your Mother fans, the Robin Sparkle plotline is a thinly veiled.
Not even thinly veiled.
It's inspired by.
Very much so.
Yeah. Okay.
So she's gone on to do great things and amazing things and is very much on this soul search for herself. There's a little bit of legal stuff that happens. She will file suit against her previous management in 2016. Apparently, dude has siphoned off like $4.7 million. Like, the new guy comes in that she hires, like, something shady's going on. Mm-hmm. And ends up, this guy gets a 6-year prison sentence.
Oh, my God.
Found guilty of fiduciary duty, fraud, and negligence. I just like to say fiduciary on the podcast.
Everyone does. Everyone does.
Alanis Morissette's doing great. Mm-hmm. She's going on tour this summer. Liz Phair is going to be playing some dates with her.
Amazing.
So definitely get to that if you can.
That is, wow, that's like Gen X catnip right there.
But that's not everything. So now that you've heard that story about possibly the origin of You Oughta Know being about Dave Coulier. And,
can we say probably?
Oh, yeah. Okay. Allegedly, probably.
At least in part. Sibling fights are unavoidable, but what if every fight you had was under a microscope on a global scale? That's the reality for brothers Prince William and Prince Harry. They were each other's closest friends and allies since the death of their mother, but that all began to crack as they married and took wildly different approaches to their royal duties.
Wondery's podcast, Dis and Tell, is hosted by comedians Sydney Battle and Matt Bellassai. Each episode unpacks one of pop culture's most iconic celebrity feuds, and they recently took a deeper look into the real reason William versus Harry started.
It's actually much bigger than these two brothers, stretching back into the history of the British monarchy. Did their feud start with the royal family's mistreatment of Meghan Markle, or was it something that started much earlier?
Follow Dis and Tell on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, Trash Pandas, Stacy here to share my latest take a mental breather from your day find, Two Dots. Two Dots is a free-to-download puzzle-based mobile game where you connect dots in relaxing puzzles while unlocking levels and collecting treasure and prizes along the way. Connect at least two adjacent dots of the same color to make a move, and remember, dots can connect horizontally and vertically, but never, ever diagonally. And as engaging as the main puzzles are, there are also side quest game modes like the scavenger hunt, where you find hidden objects amidst riotously colorful art, and classic adventure game vibes in the arcade. Each fun and relaxing Two Dots puzzle offers a new gameplay experience, plus the chance to collect trophies, medals, and other souvenirs of your adventures. As you advance through the levels, you'll earn various power-ups and special dots with new effects, like erasing all dots of a certain color or clearing a row and column simultaneously, and the colorful visuals find the perfect balance between stimulating and soothing.
Two Dots is free to download, and you can play even when you're offline. Make it a party by challenging your friends on Facebook. If you're ready to kick back and unwind, download Two Dots for free on Android and iOS and start connecting.
Ladies and gentlemen.
What are you doing?
What do you mean?
Keep it simple.
I'm making the promo.
Just keep it simple. Just say, hey, we're the Brav Bros, two guys that talk about Bravo.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, we're the Brav Bros.
No.
Oh.
Dude. Stop with the voice. Just keep it simple.
I've seen promos on TV, dude. This is how you get the fans engaged. This is how you get listeners. We're trying to get listeners here. If we just say, oh, we're two dudes that talk about Bravo, people are going to get tired of it already. We need some oomph.
All right, then fine. Let's try to do it with your voice.
Brav Bros.
Good job.
There was this whole internet rumor going around, and I say rumor because it is a rumor, but I got suckered into it too. So when you search about this song, it's going to attach to all of the search stuff that TLC comes out and says No Scrubs is about Dave Coulier too.
The 1999 smash hit from TLC.
Oh my gosh, TLC, such a good, like, you just like Jagged Little Pill was 95, No Scrubs was 99, mm-hmm. and TLC's amazing. They are either the second or fourth, depending on the list you're looking at, best-selling girl group of all time.
Wow.
Their five albums sold, I want to say, 65 million total.
Okay.
They're awesome.
And Dave Coulier is the source of...
No, it's not. I'm going to tell you really about the song first. No Scrubs, released on their third album, Fan Mail. It's written by Kevin Briggs and the two former Escape members. Escape was this like super big, like early 90s girl band, Candy Burris, who you may know from Real Housewives of Atlanta,
mm-hmm.
and her bandmate, collaborating partner, Tamika Tiny, are hanging out one day. And Candy says, she recalls this to an interview in NPR. Candy says, I always like to listen to tracks in my car because I come up with my best ideas while I'm driving. Same, Candy, same. So she and her buddy are venting about the guys they're dating at the time, and Candy starts freestyling over the track and was like, a scrub is a guy who thinks he's fly and is also known as a busta, always talking about what he wants and just sits on his fat ass. Okay. So she makes a song about the deadbeat she's dating. And at the time, scrubs was a term just for kind of like a deadbeat loser. Kind of just the trashiest guy ever, not going anywhere. Candy gets her freestyle written on the back of her paying bills envelopes in the car over to Tamika Tiny Harris. And they do a demo, and then they're trying to get it recorded, but they start shopping it around to industry. TLC hears it, vamps it up, changes a few of the lyrics just to make it a little contemporary for them. Lisa Left Eye Lopez will put in a rap to it, so she gets a partial writing credit as well.
Right.
Anyway, the song. Scrub is a guy, can't get no love for me. God, it's a good song. Stays number one on the Billboard Hot 100 list for 4 weeks. And it maintains this legacy. Like, just like You Ought to Know is on a lot of breakup tapes, I would assume that No Scrubs is as well. No Scrubs has been on a lot of my breakup tapes, personally. Of the song, Candy Burris says about it, as women, we go through things every day, all day. No matter where we go, somebody's going to try to push up or try to holler at you. And they're not always a gentleman about it. So I feel like this song put it out there, and it just made women be a little bit more outspoken.
So what is Dave Coulier's role in the creation of this smash hit?
Nothing. However.
However.
There is a site called The Hard Times.
.net, yes.
.net, which is a satire, mostly. I would say 87% satire. They do drop like music reviews mm-hmm. and other stuff in there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, this was brand new information because I got suckered into, I'm not saying I'm smarter. Our Patreon episode that we recorded had a different take.
Mm-hmm. Well, because the claim got picked up by
mainstream
other
news.
Websites that aren't, well, I mean, I won't call them high quality, but like if you Google Dave Coulier TLC, like you will get a page of results about
that all. This is the that all this is the origin story. Okay, but it's satire. But after hearing all of the You Ought to Know bug you in the middle of dinner, this story becomes very easy to believe where you read it as fact. But if you know that Candy Burris wrote the song in a car in her aunt, like that, this is not the story.
What's the yarn though?
Okay.
Do you want to share the yarn?
This is from the hardtimeswhat.net. Mm-hmm. This is Eli Johnson publishing December 16th, 2020 with Hot Gossip. The former members of TLC confirmed a long-held suspicion today that their 1999 hit single, No Scrubs, was written about Full House cast member Dave Coulier.
It's a good headline.
Said Rosanda Chili Thomas, one day we're out walking and Coulier and Stamos come driving by and, you know, Coulier leans out and tries to holler at us from the passenger side of the car. I mean, the visuals are great here.
Oh, yeah.
To be honest, I didn't know who he was at first. I just saw a bunch of hair and a bright patterned shirt, and then it clicked and I was like, is that corny motherfucker Uncle Joey? So I started jotting down some lines and the rest is history. He was talking like Popeye for some reason, and he had this beaver puppet. That part didn't make it, in the song.
Hmm.
You should not be snookered in by that.
It's a good story.
But it's so easy to be snookered. So, satire continues. The revelation from TLC has only fueled the ongoing speculation that Coulier's failed relationship from singer-songwriter Alanis Morissette was the inspiration for her classic song, You Oughta Know. Tion T-Boz Watkins says, I can only assume he was fresh off his breakup with Alanis and was looking for a rebound, I guess. So yeah, he flexed on us. But out of respect for our Canadian queen, we didn't give him the time of day. He was just lucky Left Eye wasn't with us that day. That's for damn sure. Okay. Now, that's fun, but here's the thing that really sells it, that I think lends the most charm, is the Bob Saget
fabricated quote,
confirming Dave Coulier's predilection for musical women, according to satire Bob Saget. I tried to tell him he should probably stop dating musicians, but he wouldn't listen. I mean, there's already one immortal song dedicated to calling you a piece of shit, so maybe you should cut your losses. I've never understood why he's always been eager to take credit for You Oughta Know. Like, buddy, did you listen to the lyrics? I don't know. It's a hell of a visual with Uncle Joey. Like, here's John Stamos, never had a problem getting a girl in his life, driving the car, and Uncle Joey hanging out the window with his beaver puppet doing his Popeye.
No, it's a great yarn. It is really well done.
It is an internet hoax. That did not happen. But you can imagine it happening if you know about how much Alanis Morissette went through after that breakup.
Yeah, I feel like that writer has spawned his own little bit of lore in the archives of the internet history.
That's what you get when you do an extra proof your sources at the end of every episode.
I mean, it would be so hilarious if that were true. Like, it's a well done little story because you can kind of, like, yeah, you can kind of see Dave Coulier being that goofy, like,
oh, trying to pick me up with a beaver puppet? Yeah.
Talking like Popeye? Yeah. Yeah.
Can my beaver puppet buy you a drink? No.
Didn't he have like a woodchuck?
He did have a woodchuck. Puppet on. Which is probably how.
That's probably the reference.
Which, you know, if you think about How I Met Your Mother and the whole Robin Sparkles thing, because Robin Sparkles comes out with, P.S. I love you.
Right.
And it ends up being about Paul Schaefer. But there's all these Canadian stars. Maybe we should put that link in because that's a very funny clip. There's Jason Priestley and the guys from Bare Naked Ladies and all kinds of Canadian people like, wasn't me.
Right.
Wasn't me. Oh, gosh. You ought to know. Probably was. Maybe about Dave Coulier.
Mm-hmm. But there is not. There's
no documented verified evidence that there, No Scrubs is about Dave Coulier.
Yeah, there is not a genre of Dave Coulier hate songs as much as one might find that hilarious.
We're nothing like Diligent Reporters the second time. After edits. Goodness.
Okay, so that's trashy breakups and trashy fake breakups.
Also, Truth Hurts by Lizzo about Dave Coulier.
Probably.
Also, so is You're So Vain You're by so vain, Carly Simon.
Definitely about baby Dave Coulier. Infant.
Like Ted Cruz being the Zodiac killer. Oh, like, I wasn't alive then, but yes, that song is about me too.
Obviously. Just really pick any Angry at My Ex song. It was probably about Dave Coulier when it was first written. So,
dude, I can say totally.
Yeah.
Totally about
It's all about Coulier.
Anyway, that is the very first episode of Trashy Breakups. We're going to get into trashier breakups, not just songs. It's not a song focused thing, but I think you did have to start with at least what Taylor Swift considers to be the number one breakup song, You Oughta Know.
Yeah, it holds up.
I mean, every time I scratch my nails, that guy in the theater knows exactly who he is.
He does.
There's
yes,
no
does.
Doubt. Mm-hmm. You Oughta Know.
I find the silence on that part. Like, people are claiming credit for all sorts of lines in that song, but somehow that one is not brought up so much.
Thanks, everybody, for tuning in. We're going to be back this Sunday with our season 11 premiere. We got two really good stories.
This season, we're just going to bust internet hoaxes all season long.
That's not true. That's not true. It's not true, but we have some premier 80s trash.
Yeah, we do.
80s and later, coming for you this Sunday. We can't wait to have you back then. Thanks for spending your time with us. Until we talk to you soon.
Keep your hands clean and keep your hearts trashy.
So, so trashy. Big love, y'all. Have an amazing week.
Bye.
Cheers. And thanks to you for listening. Trashy Divorces is a Hemlock Creatives production, created and produced right here in Atlanta, Georgia by us, Stacy and Alicia, with a little research and writing help from the brilliant Melissa O.
Our art is by Sydney V. Smith. That's Sydney V. Smith at carbonmade.com. And our music is used with permission of Ratsy. Check her out at Ratsy's store on Instagram. And definitely drop into Ratsy's store anytime you're in Oberlin, Ohio.
You can contact us at trashydivorces@gmail.com or find us on the World Wide Web at trashydivorces.com.
If you need more trash candy in your life, our Patreon community includes some of the very best humans around and thousands of hours of bonus content at every level of support. Join the fun at patreon.com/trashydivorces.
Interested in some Trashy Divorces swag? Check out our merch shop and Trash Panda Enthusiasm Society at bit.ly/trashygear.
Want to advertise with us? Reach out to sales@advertisecast.com for more information.
And last but not least, come play with us on social media. I keep most of our Trashy Divorces Instagram hopping. Stacy and I share it up over on Facebook, including our Trashy Divorces podcast discussion group. Come join us over there, and thanks again, everybody, for listening.
Keep it trashy, y'all.